This morning, we talked a little bit about forgiveness and such from the book of Matthew, and I felt like I should have wore my leather garments or my camel skin clothes and leather belt and ate locusts and wild honey while I was preaching, because it's kind of one of those John the Baptist sermons. Tonight, I'll be a Barnabas, so that'll be a happy sermon. And he was a friendly fella and has always had a word of encouragement. And I called the sermon Be a Barnabas. I don't know why. I was kind of looking for a title, and that's about the only thing I could come up with. But the idea is that Barnabas is a guy that we always like to read about in the Scriptures, because he was an encouraging man who always was doing good deeds, full of good deeds. And he's a role model that we can imitate. I think the Apostle Paul always seems to be a little bit intimidating. It seems like who could ever walk in Paul's footsteps? I believe we could. I believe when we don't, it's because we don't have enough faith in God that he can still do with us today just what he did in the first century. But Barnabas always seems to be a little bit lost in Paul's shadow sometimes. And we may not see him as an extraordinarily gifted person, but we do see him as one who loved other people deeply, and he served him. And this passage in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, I put chapter 3 and verse 10. Actually, what I wanted was chapter 2 and verse 10. Describe Barnabas a little bit, that describes what we need to be busy about. He says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." He prepared us for good works. And I want us just to think a few minutes this evening about some things that we can do. I think sometimes we spend a lot of time, some people have said to me, they spend a lot of time thinking about negative things. Spend too much time just filling their mind with negative thoughts, and it makes them almost inactive, ineffective. And one of the things that God has encouraged us to do as Christians is just to be busy about doing good things. So busy that we don't have time to be dwelling on negative things. And there's a lot of simple things that we can do that are very profitable and very useful in the Lord's kingdom. And so I just was very practical this week and just wrote down a list, maybe 40 different things that you can do to busy yourself about being a blessing in this church, and not only to the church here, but to others outside the church and the community. And you might find this list useful. Maybe you've got your plate full and you're busy and don't have time to add anything else to it. And that's a great thing. But maybe you could use a few suggestions, some things you can do to be helpful. And I'm just going to, this may be a quick lesson, but I'm going to give you some things you can think about doing that would be helpful. Number one, you could cut the grass at the building. You know, Mo does that, and I think that Bill Krause does that, and maybe there's somebody else that does that, I'm not sure. But there may be somebody that'd like to get involved and just take some time and help with some of the maintenance around the building. That'd be a good, useful thing that you could do to be helpful here. Or maybe you could greet the visitors as they come in. We don't have official greeters here. I don't think we have official, do we? We have official greeters? Okay, well, we do that. I haven't been on that, brought up, that might be a deacon job. But you could still greet, make sure, you know, participate in that. Make sure you greet the visitors as they come in and make them feel welcome. You could give your neighbor a Bible correspondence course. Take one by and drop it off, and you never know, they may not be interested in that, but that would give them an opportunity to say, really, I thought that maybe everybody would be interested in studying the Bible. And you might get negative feedback or positive, but it would be a great way to start a conversation and let people know that you're concerned about them and about their souls. You could teach or be an aide in a children's class downstairs. Maybe you haven't got involved in the teaching program, and maybe you'd be hesitant to jump right in and actually teach. But I'm sure there are a lot of ladies who would love to have you sit in, and even some of the guys that teach some of the older kids would love to have you sit in and learn and be a participant in that. You could take a new convert out for dinner and get to know him well. Sometimes the person's baptized and we welcome them and say hello and shake their hand, and then we kind of don't take them and spend much time with them and help them grow. Kind of leave them on their own sometimes to grow on their own. And it'd be great to just to build a relationship with new Christians. I know one church that I was a part of that had, when someone was baptized, there was a 10-lesson course. And they assigned, I think, some of the deacons and some other people, each person had a separate lesson that they did. And once a month, they were to invite that family would invite that new convert over, and they would do a Bible lesson with them. Feed them dinner, you know, spend a night with them, and, you know, talking to them, and do a lesson with them, and then the next month, another family would do it. By the time it was over, 10 families in the congregation had built a relationship with that person within that first year. That was, especially with the group we were at, where there was a couple of hundred people, that was very helpful to pull that person in and make them feel like a part of the group. You could offer to carry something after church for a young mother. I've got something for everybody here. and don't discount. That's important. I know that. And you wouldn't want to, the young mother might drop the baby. You'd rather drop the diaper bag than the baby. But somebody could come and take that, help that mother out, taking things out to the car for her. That's a useful thing. That's a good work of service for someone. You could talk to a member at church that you don't know very well. A little bit this morning, I thought it's very easy for us to be a little clickish. I don't say that in a totally derogatory way, but it's easy to we gravitate toward people that we tend to find commonalities with. Nothing unusual about that. But there's always another person on the other side of the building that could really use, would be good for us to get to know and learn something about that person and maybe where they are spiritually. Maybe you'd be the person to take them to a new level, or maybe they could even help you and you don't know that. So talk to a member at the church you don't know, especially as the church grows. It becomes more of a task to build a common relationship with everybody. You could pray for a foreign evangelist and his family. I know there's some things on the back bulletin board, some reports that come from people who are from up in the Northeast in particular, but there's lots of people that you could, and that would be just as well as sometimes I think that the Northeast is a foreign territory. And so I have a lot of respect for the people that are up here. But you could read those notes and then make specific notes and pray for that fellow and his family. Send thank you cards to the elder or to one of the elders or their wives and let them know how much you appreciate the work that they do. That's a good work of service. People who are sometimes do thankless jobs. And we take for granted, somebody's probably telling them thank you, but it would be good for us to do that for them. You could take food to a brother or a sister who is sick. One of the hardest workers at the church that I was at in Pekin, Indiana, was this lady who would just, you wouldn't even know she was there, you wouldn't know she's a member. She's never out in front of anybody, she's just an older person. Her family wasn't even, her husband wasn't even a Christian. But it's amazing how hospitable she was and how much work she did taking food to help those who were sick. And just a great lady. And these are all very practical things. You can be a Barnabas and be an encouragement to other people doing these different things. Well, the list goes on. You could tell your Bible class teacher when a specific class helps you. That's something that young people can do and older people can too. To those who teach the adult classes, they'd like to know when what they're saying is useful to you and you found it a blessing. Sometimes someone says that I'd like to grow up, I'd like to grow and mature spiritually some this year. I feel like I'm not growing enough. What can I do? Well, you could call up someone that you haven't seen at church lately, someone that you know is struggling spiritually. That's hard to do, especially if you want to take that to the level of actually helping them. You know, I like the passage in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 where it says, Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Here's something you can do. That person who's stumbling, that person who's struggling spiritually, call them up. Have lunch with them. I'd like to meet you for lunch. Say, we need to have lunch. And spend some time with them and encourage them. And say, maybe we can have a Bible study together. Would you like that? And I bet you sometime that person would take you up on that. And they'd be thankful that someone took a particular interest in them. offer to accompany a single mother to a home study so she can concentrate better. There may be some, there's some single mothers in this family that might like to get out and go to a home study. We have them on Tuesday and Thursday nights and such, and but she's juggling kids. But say, hey, how about, would you like to go to the study? I'll go with you, and I'll take care of the kids, and you can listen. Could be a benefit to one of the mothers here who are single mothers. Be a father or a mother to a child who doesn't have one. There's lots of orphans out there that need somebody to be a parent to them. That's a pretty big task, but it's something that somebody could pursue. It's called sacrifice. It's not thinking yourself, because it's a hard task. Give one of the Portuguese cards that's, that I have to one of the waiters at Dunkin' Donuts. There's a number of Dunkin' Donuts. You visit them, and you'll find out that a lot of times, a lot of Portuguese or Spanish-speaking individuals are working there. Give them a card, a Bible study card, and offer them a Bible study. I can do that. And so but you may encounter people that I don't encounter. And those cards are available if you would like them. Attend one of the weekly home Bible studies. If you're not doing that, we have the ones on the Tuesday night, the one that that the Adugases host, right? And then the one on Thursday night, or did I miss that? It's the Tuesday. There's one on the Thursday night out at the Trudeau's. There's one on Tuesday night at the Melanson's, right? We got three home studies that you could be a part of. And build a relationship with those families there. Bring more input to those studies. Just involve yourself more with the Lord's people during the week. What a better choice that is than sitting and watching some evening soap. I mean, there's not even any remote comparison to doing a little sacrificing and driving to a neighborhood where there's a Bible study versus sitting at home and watching a TV. It's totally worthless. But you could do that. We have that provided. Thank one of our deacons for the work he does. The deacons work very hard. So many things happen that we don't even know, that we just don't even pay attention to. But they just happen because somebody's working and getting that stuff done. And valuable things. And let them know that you appreciate what they're doing. Thank a deacon's wife for her support and work. It's usually not a one-person task. They're asking their wives' help, and they're doing their part, and it's a combination effort. And to thank the wives, too, for their support. Send flowers to somebody who's been a blessing to you. Let them know that they're important, that they made a difference in your life. These are all things that when a group gets involved and does different things like that, it creates a bond. I'm not saying we don't have it. I think this group is exceptional already. But just all of that extra energy and effort creates a type of fellowship that builds foundation, builds relationships, so that when there are problems, there's cushion underneath, there's cushion to help when we start need to work through difficult things. And that's what God has given us each other for difficult times and for good times too. I like the passage in Titus chapter 3. Little book that we ignore sometimes. It's short enough, I could probably preach through it on a Sunday night. So I might put that on the list for this year. But he says in verse 8 of chapter 3, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good, and they're profitable for men. Careful to engage in good deeds. And then look at the end of this little book, down in verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. We all know the parable of the sower and the four different kinds of hearts, and the good heart was in that particular parable was one where the seed was planted and it bore fruit. And certainly fruit that it would bore. I think the principal fruit is the fruit of the character. It bears the character of Christ. But then those fruitful, that character becomes fruitful in an external way. It begins to serve, just like Jesus did. And so he says, our people must learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. We know that the unfruitful servant The one that doesn't bear any fruit, John 15, Jesus says, is the one that the Lord cuts off and throws in the fire. We want to bear fruit. We want to be busy growing. And here's some a few suggestions of things that we can do. Here's another group. Double your contribution for a Sunday or two. You know, there's a lot of work that this group could do. The elders may have a list of things they would like to do, but we are limited by what we have to work with. Now, we could give you specifics and say, they could say, we want to do this year, and we need this much to do it. Can we count on you for this much per month for the next year? That would be totally in order if they wanted to plan that. Or you could say, well, I'd like to offer some more, because there's some one-time helps. I know they want to help Skip Bacat some that's moved back up into the Northeast, and to give him help and get him going. And you could help that out by adding some extra money to the contribution a couple of months. And what that means is sacrifice. It means you may have to not get pizza out a couple of Sunday nights or this month, or you may not be able to go out five times, only two. But that money would be better spent, wouldn't it, if it was put to the work of the Lord. You can visit an elderly brother or sister who doesn't get out much. I know people do that here, and I'm always impressed. Probably a whole lot more goes on than I know, and that's great. But I know that there's some elderly sister that women go and see and encourage and such, and that's part of what the Lord wants to happen. I know that James chapter 1 and verse 27 said that... He says, pure and undefiled religion, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's putting your money where your mouth is. That's faith that works. That's somebody who says, I'm going to go and help. And that's what God wants to see us doing. Or you can invite a friend to come to church with you on Sunday. Sometimes we feel a little bit intimidated about that. Well, they probably won't go, but you know, you don't know until you ask. And somebody might surprise you. Or invite somebody to the meeting that's coming up. That's going to be in a month or two. But probably be good just to invite them on a regular Sunday. Unfortunately, that guy goes away after about 3 days, and they're stuck with me again. So you want to? It's always bad when they bring somebody to a meeting, and it's the first time they come and they hear him, and then they come back a week later and say, "Who is this?" Because then you're stuck with the home guy. But invite somebody to come to church with you on a Sunday. Have a singing in your home. Just invite some people over to sing. I know some families do that. That's encouraging. This is about being busy, about doing good things. It's about filling your mind up with ideas of how to serve others and be a blessing in this group. And it eliminates negativity. It eliminates, if you're a person that tends to get depressed, it's hard to get depressed when you're busy serving other people. Because you're doing good things. And you're too occupied thinking about what you can do for somebody else instead of thinking about yourself. Have a singing in your home. Plan to attend the gospel meetings this spring. Rhode Island will have one. Connecticut will have one. Teensboro will have one. I know. Rhode Island's an hour and a half away. Connecticut's a couple hours away. But you know what? How much that would mean to them to see somebody that sacrificed himself and went all the way down there to be with them. A little group like Connecticut that's struggling, and you get a blessing of hearing a lesson from somebody, but even more, you're going down to bless, and think of it as your opportunity to bless them. And yes, it may be inconvenient, but you know, Christianity is not built on convenience. It never was. If we don't inconvenience ourselves, we're not really Christians, are we? That's what Christianity is. It's doing things that are hard to be a blessing to others, just like our Lord did for us. Take the kids to the nursing home to read the Bible with the elderly. It's amazing how they like to hear that read. They like to hear the Bible read. You can do that for them. Surprise a needy family with a gift basket on their doorstep. And there are people who are struggling, people who are in need. You can be a blessing to them, help them some way in some kind of material way. Invite your neighbors over for a neighborhood Bible study. I thought this was a neat idea. One church that I knew, the elders canceled Sunday night services for, I can't say how long, maybe a year. And three or four different families were designated in their neighborhoods to have a neighborhood Bible study there. And they had a couple of families from the church that would go and be there at that study. And so there was always a group there, and they studied through the book of Mark. Everybody was doing the same thing. And for a year, that's what they did for that Sunday night. Because that's the night when people were really open. They had people in the neighborhoods had time on their hands. Had a lot of success through that. But invite your neighbors for a neighborhood study. You just might be surprised how many people might come if you said, let's study, let's read the Bible together. Prepare communion for a month. Leave our "Would you like a Bible study?" card with your tip at the restaurant. Just put it in with a tip. You never know what might happen. Somebody might make a call and ask to study the Bible, or give it to a friend, and you might be able to help teach someone the gospel through that mechanism. The bad thing is when we're stagnant. It's when we just sit and we don't do things. Because then we become critics. When we're stagnant, we become armchair quarterbacks, don't we? We can see all the faults of everyone else, and even people who are working, we can see where they're not doing exactly how we think it ought to be done. And if it was me doing it, but that's because we're sitting there doing nothing. But when we're busy and we're utilizing our time wisely, we haven't got time to criticize anybody else. They may not be doing it the best way possible, but that's not my concern. They're working and doing the best they can. And my concern is that what am I doing? And so this is about better using our time and our energy to be a blessing to others and make this church a working church. Last section. Offer to clean the house for a young mother. There are some mothers who are overwhelmed and the laundry piles up. And maybe you've got time on your hands and you can go and be a blessing to that young mother while she's taking care of the young kids to do some laundry for her or something. Send a care package to a foreign evangelist. I've got addresses. I've got people who don't get Nestle's chocolate bars and things where they're at, and they like to have some taco seasoning, and I can give you some addresses of people who'd like to have some care packages sent to them that would be encouraging to them. Invite a new family at church to dinner. Invite somebody that you don't know very well, but you need to get to know. Use the blessings God has given you to share with those who you need to help. Ask the elders who need spiritual encouragement. Talk to them. They can tell you. They can give you a list of people that could use a card, who could use a visit, who could use some prayers, and you can find out who you can help spiritually. Talk to the elders about that. They need help. They're not able to do it all on their own. Help a Bible class teacher cut out pictures for students. Say amen at the end of a prayer. Say amen after a good point in a sermon. Send a new convert a card after his baptism. Drop a "Would you like a Bible study card" in the payment with your monthly bill. I'm just coming up with anything I can. And there's so many things. I hope this creates ideas in your mind, generates ideas for you. Tell good mothers and fathers how much you appreciate them. Pray for God's help in discovering new and meaningful ways to use your talents for Christ's sake. The Lord will give us plenty of work to do. That's what He wants us to do. He said, be busy about good deeds. You are created for good works. Be busy about those things. You pray and He'll open the door. Somebody will provide you some ideas if you haven't got any. But these are just a few of many that we could offer. In James, just two verses here for you as I draw this to a close. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. For those who are weary, there are people who are tired and who've done that a lot. A lot of these things that I've mentioned, you can say, I've done that, and I've done a lot more than what you put up on the board, and I'm sure that that's true. But there's points in our life where sometimes the things that we do are thankless. Sometimes you don't always get a hug or a thank you note for what you're doing. And sometimes people get tired of that. People aren't even appreciated a lot of times. God doesn't guarantee that just because we show love to others that they're going to necessarily turn around and thank us for it. Jesus' work was a thankless job when He was here. Nobody said thank you. They nailed Him to a cross. And sometimes you can get nailed to a cross when you're trying to do good, and you may just say, I'm tired of this. I'm done with it. But Galatians chapter 6, he concludes this letter saying, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. Don't give up. Don't stop doing good to the day that you die. Because if you're not rewarded in this life, you will be in the next. And then the last one that I want you to read with me is Matthew 25. Again, some people say, hey, look, does this count? Does it count for anything except for my own? This is not some kind of therapeutic thing that I'm recommending. This is not just psychology. It's not some therapeutic treatment for yourself. Does this count for anything more than in this life? Matthew chapter 25, the picture that Jesus painted of the judgment day, verse 31, gives us some insight into who will go to heaven. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne, His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right, the goats on His left, and the King will say to those on His right, come you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer Him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. I think there'll be a lot of people who are surprised that they go to heaven. They'll look at their life and they'll look at simple things that they did and they'll say, I didn't do a lot of important things. I wasn't a preacher. I didn't get to teach, or I didn't get to do this. And the Lord will say, well, you know, that wasn't the important thing. What you did was what was important. And you're in heaven because you were a servant. And that's what He's looking for. He's looking for servants. There's no one work in the kingdom of heaven, one role that is superior to all the rest. We are servants. We are nobodies, as I said this morning. And we're doing what we can with whatever talent and whatever opportunity God's given us. So use your talents wisely and use your opportunities to be a blessing to others. And it does count. Not that we're going to be saved because we are so good. We will not be saved because we're so good. But because we've become servants in gratitude for Him saving us. And that is what He's looking for, is servants. Would you be one of those? Would you become more active today? Make you a list this week. Engage in good works. Meet pressing needs. Be a blessing to other brethren. Just think a lesson of encouragement to give you some ideas and motivate you toward that end. Maybe this evening you haven't become a Christian, and that's what would be the first step toward a more joyful life, a life of service. And you need to make that decision and make it while you have an opportunity. We aren't guaranteed tomorrow. And tonight would be a good time to obey the Lord as we stand and sing.